Well, it is always great to come back here to Chicago. I know my dad spoke at the May weekend, what, about 30 years ago. Many of you were here for that. I think my sister Adele has been here as well, if I'm not mistaken. And I know I've been here a few times myself. So always great to come out here to see my good friend Peter and my very good friend, Monsignor Mike Bliss, when we went to college together at Christendom. It's always great to see Father Gerald again. We were in Ireland together on a Legion conference. And, of course, many other legionaries like Gwen, we go way back. Some people have been asking about my mom and dad. They're doing very well. Thanks be to God. They'll be married 54 years this coming September 8th, the birthday of our Blessed Mother. My dad just turned 83 last month. My mom will be 90 in August. I hope she doesn't hear this recording. She'll be very upset that I told people her age. But I'm very proud of her and my dad. They both work full-time. They both work 6 days a week in the Catholic bookstore that they started over 53 years ago. They're both still active members of the Legion. At age 83 and 90, they go to their weekly meeting, do their weekly assignment at the Norristown State Mental Hospital. They've been doing that now for a long time. And hopefully one day they'll catch up to Gwen, who's 94. Where is she over there somewhere? Congratulations. I hope they do as well as she does and keeping the Legion well into their 90s. My sisters are doing well. Both of them are married. I do have 7 nieces and nephews that are starting to graduate from high school, go off to college. So 2 of them will be at Franciscan University at Steubenville this coming September. So they're doing well. Well, tonight's topic is faith, legionary faith. And it is the year of faith, as Peter mentioned. Pope Benedict has declared this the year of faith. So we're going to be talking about that. Now, my favorite story about faith had to do with there were 4 nuns in a car, and they ran out of gas in a country road. And so there was no gas station within a few miles, so they decided they had to walk and get a canister of gas and bring it back and fill up the car. So they looked in the trunk and they could not find any gas can. But since they had worked at the hospital, they had bedpans in the back of the car. So each of them took a bedpan and they carried it 2 miles. They filled it up at the gas station and they carefully filled up each bedpan with gas and they walked all the way back, 2 miles back. Then they began to fill the car with the contents of the bedpan, of the gasoline. Well, just then, an elderly couple drove by, and they see this incredible sight of these 4 nuns with, you know, filling the car in this manner. And the husband turns to his wife and says, "Honey, that's what I call faith." So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And the wife said, "If that car starts, I'm going to become a Catholic." So that's what I call faith. Now, we're going to first talk about on page 12 in your Legion handbook. If you have your handbook, take a look at this short chapter called The Spirit of the Legion. And in that, it says the spirit of the Legion is that of Mary herself. And then it lists Mary's 10 principal virtues, her most special virtues. Listen to the litany of her virtues. Mary has profound humility, perfect obedience, angelical sweetness, continual prayer, universal mortification, spotless purity, heroic patience, heavenly wisdom, self-sacrificing, courageous love of God, and above all, what does it say? Her faith. Good job. You must be like fundamentalist legionaries. You know your Bible very well. You know your handbook. Above all, her faith, that virtue which has in her alone been found in its utmost extent and never equaled. Our Lady is the mother of faith. She is the model of faith. She is the woman of faith. All those beautiful qualities of Our Lady. Now, There's another passage I found in the Legion Handbook, which you might not have seen lately. It's in a little footnote, and it's back here on page 311. Now, in your book, it may be a couple pages different, because this, as you can tell from my handbook, it's sort of well read, but I cannot get rid of this handbook, because all my notes are in here. So even though there is a newer edition, which has a couple more pages, I still go with this, because I need all my notes. But on page 311, there's a wonderful quotation from St. John Chrysostom, also about faith. And it talks about the good thief, right? Remember the good thief, St. Dismas. In fact, Bishop Sheen said, he was the thief to the end. He even stole heaven. It says, this robber stole paradise. No one before him ever received such a promise. Not Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses or the prophets or the apostles. The thief pressed in before all these. But his faith also surpassed theirs. He saw Jesus tormented and adored him as if he were in glory. He saw him nailed to a cross and petitioned him as if he were enthroned. He saw him condemned and asked a favor of him as of a king. O admirable thief, thou didst see a crucified man and thou did proclaim a God. See, that's faith, right? The faith of the good thief. But of course, Our Lady's faith is far superior than that. Now first, what is faith? Well, faith, of course, is a virtue. It's one of the three theological virtues: faith, hope, and charity. And Scripture says, the greatest of these is love. That's because love continues into eternity, whereas faith and hope are no longer needed in heaven. Faith and hope are virtues for this world. So you remember, faith is, first of all, believing in something you cannot see. Well, when you get to heaven, you see God. So you don't need faith that he exists, because faith is replaced by sight, right? As Scripture says, that we walk by faith and not by sight. When we get to heaven, faith no longer is necessary. Faith is replaced by vision. The beatific vision is replaced by sight. And hope is no longer needed in heaven either, right? Because hope is desiring something you do not possess. When you get to heaven and possess God, you don't need hope. Hope is fulfilled in heaven by seeing God and possessing God face to face. So the three theological virtues: faith, hope, and love. So the virtue of faith is the virtue by which we believe in God and believe all that he has revealed in his holy Catholic Church. That is the virtue of faith. We believe in God and we believe all that's been revealed by him in our holy faith. Another definition of faith is the assent of our mind and heart to the truths revealed by God. So Mary, according to the Catechism and the Legion Handbook, is the greatest model of faith. Why is that? Because she was a human person. She was a human being. Remember, Jesus is divine. He is a divine person. He assumed a human nature. He's truly God and truly man, but he is a divine person. Jesus is God. He is the eternal Son of God. And because of that, Jesus always had the beatific vision of his Father. So Jesus did not have the virtue of faith or the virtue of hope, because Jesus saw the vision of God, the beatific vision of his Father. And Jesus is God, so he always had that. Jesus did not have hope because he possessed God. He is God. So then, if Jesus is not our role model for faith and hope, who is? It is our Blessed Mother. Because she is a human person, she's a human being, and Mary had the greatest faith and the greatest hope of any person. What I wanted to do, Peter asked me to talk about the concluding prayer of the Legion, which is one of my favorite prayers. So if you have your tessera out, take a look at your tessera. We're going to walk you through this. Or if you have your Legion handbook on page 134 and 135, it is in here, and this is where I have all my notes. And Let's take a look at the concluding prayer of the Legion. I'd like to call this the commissioning prayer, because, yes, it is our concluding prayer of the meeting, but it sends us forth. It's like at the end of Mass, go forth and proclaim the gospel. The Mass is ended, go in peace. See, Mass, the word Mass comes from the Latin, remember, ite missa est. Remember that? The Mass is ended, go forth. So the Mass means the sending forth. You gather together at the Mass to adore God, praise Him, worship Him, love Him. But then at the end of Mass, you're sent out to convert the world and to take the graces and fruits of the Mass and be a channel to the world of His love, grace, and mercy. I remember one priest once said that when you say those Latin words, you have to be very careful. Because apparently, ite missa est means the Mass is ended, go forth. If you say ita missa est, it means, oh, it's just the Mass. Okay, so you have to be very careful how you say those Latin words, right, Deacon Pat? Very good. So, the Mass is ended, go forth. Every Presidium meeting, you are sent forth from the meeting to convert the world. So it's a commissioning prayer. It's a commencement prayer. Just like when you graduate, what do they call it? Your commencement. It's the beginning of a new life. So when you leave the meeting, you're being sent forth to commence being an apostle, being a missionary to convert the world. So this concluding prayer is one of my favorite prayers of all time. It was written mostly by St. Louis Marie de Montfort. This prayer is found in the True Devotion to Mary. You can look it up. 80%, 90% of this prayer is right from the hand of St. Louis de Montfort. Frank Duff modified it very slightly for the purpose of the Legion. In this prayer, we ask the Lord to confer on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that beautiful vexillum with the Holy Spirit overshadowing Our Lady, bringing Christ to the world, the fullness of faith in You and trust in her. As Peter mentioned, faith, the word faith is mentioned 5 times, but there's, I think, about 7 different ways that faith is alluded to. And so the first one is, we pray for the fullness of faith. Well, what is the fullness of faith? It is the Catholic faith. That's the fullness of faith, right? Because it's founded by Jesus. The faith that Jesus founded is the fullness of faith. Other denominations have some of the truth, right? They have baptism, they have matrimony, they have most of the books of the Bible, they have the Ten Commandments, they have, you know, part of the faith. But we're blessed with the fullness of faith, 100% of the faith in the Catholic Church. So we pray for the fullness of faith in Christ and trust in Mary, to which it is given to conquer the world. This means to convert the world, to save the world, to save souls. And number 2, grant us a lively faith. So you don't want a dead faith. You want a faith that is alive and active with charity and with good works. So a lively faith. Remember what St. James says. Faith without works is what? Is dead. You know your Bible. Very good. Faith without works is dead. Okay, we want a lively faith. We don't want a dead faith. We don't have just some act of faith and say, yes, we believe in Jesus and we accept Jesus. Yes, we need that. That's important. That's the first step. But that's not, as Paul Harvey says, that's not the rest of the story. There is more to it. We need a lively faith. We need a faith filled with love. A faith filled with charity. You know, we know that faith alone cannot save us because the Bible says the devil believes in God, right? So, but he's not saved. If somebody says to you, all I need is to make an act of faith, then you ask them, well, does that mean you don't need love to get to heaven? You can get to heaven without love of God, without love of neighbor? If they say, all I need is faith alone, like Martin Luther said, well, that's ridiculous. You know why? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, St. Paul says there is faith, hope, and love. And he didn't say the greatest of these is faith, because that's all you need to be saved. St. Paul says, the greatest of these is love. Because faith and hope eventually disappear, but love lasts forever in heaven. So when you're talking to your friends of other faiths, and they say all you need is faith, well then say, why does St. Paul say, Well, if you had faith to move mountains but have not love, it does you no good. Okay? See, faith alone will not save you. You need faith filled with love and filled with hope. You need hope as well. If you don't have hope, then you'll despair, fall into despair. That's not right. So Catholics are saved by grace that works in our life through faith, hope, and love. Okay, does that make sense? We're saved by the grace of God, which operates in our life through faith, because you need faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. So we need faith. But also we need love, because the greatest of these is love. If you have faith to move mountains but have not love, it is nothing. And we need hope. Hope in eternal life. So we want a lively faith, animated by charity. See, animated. We want an animating faith. So if you want to read a good book, read The Soul of the Apostolate by Dom Chattard. One of Frank Duff's favorite books. The Soul of the Apostolate. It's quoted here in the handbook many times. And he says that the soul of the apostolate is charity. It is love, which will enable us to perform all our actions, again, from the motive of pure love of thee. Because we have to be filled with love. If we're not filled with love, we're just a clashing cymbal and a noisy gong. It says, ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor. So we, as legionaries, we are Mary all over again. You are the Blessed Mother. You're her hands and feet, her heart and soul. You are Mary visiting Jesus. And you see Jesus and love Jesus and serve Jesus in your neighbor. And then we have another quote of faith. A faith firm and immovable as a rock. So we want a firm faith, not a wishy-washy faith. We want a firm faith, immovable as a rock. Where have you heard that before? That you have to build your house on a rock, not on sand, Scripture says. In the Old Testament, God was always referred to as the rock of ages. God is our rock. God is our salvation. And when Jesus changed Simon's name to Kepha, to rock, that's a very important thing. Only a few times in the Bible does God ever change someone's name. Abram to Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob to Israel. So, again, Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel. And here we have Simon, which name means a reed which sways in the wind, to Kepha, rock. Very important. And so we want a faith built upon the rock, not upon sand. And our faith, our Catholic faith, is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, who grafted St. Peter onto himself and made Peter the visible rock, the first pope, the first shepherd of the church. So our church is built upon Jesus Christ, our rock, who incorporated Peter into his leadership and made him the first visible representative, the first pope. So our faith is firm and immovable as a rock, through which we rest tranquil and steadfast. So there's always peace. You should always be at peace. Amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. There will always be crosses. There are always going to be toils. There are always going to be disappointments of life. There's always going to be sufferings in life, right? Think of marriage. You know, marriage is a great blessing. But as you know, the first ring in marriage is your engagement ring. The second is the wedding ring. And the third is suffering, right? You've heard that before, right? And that's not just in marriage, that's in the priesthood, that's in everything, right? Engagement, wedding ring, suffering, right? So it's part of life. We're always going to have sufferings. Read the lives of the saints. You cannot find a saint who did not have some suffering in their life. It's just not possible. So, but with a faith firm and immovable as a rock, we'll get through the crosses, toils, disappointments of life, tranquil and steadfast. And then we pray for a courageous faith, a faith filled with courage, with fortitude, which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and the salvation of souls. I always think about that. You know, when you're about to meet somebody and you're trying to evangelize and you say, oh, should I really give that person a miraculous medal? Should I give them a holy card? Should I talk to that person about the faith? Always think about this. Do it without hesitation, okay? Just go ahead and do it. Remember the Nike commercial? Just do it, okay? That's what you want to do, is without hesitation. And then we pray for a faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire. So who is the pillar of fire? It is our Blessed Mother. In fact, just for a moment, skip ahead a couple pages to page 147, and you'll see a beautiful commentary written by Frank Duff on the concluding prayers. And let me just read a couple sentences here from Frank Duff, from the handbook, page 147. The concluding prayers are mirrored in every line of the picture. This is referring to the cover of the handbook, the Tessera picture. The Legion is depicted as a host, innumerable, advancing in battle array under the leadership of its queen, bearing her standards, the crucifix in their right hands and the rosary in their left. See, those should be our two greatest sacramentals, the crucifix and the rosary, love of Jesus and love of Mary. The sacred names of Jesus and Mary in their hearts, and the modesty and mortification of Jesus Christ in their behavior. Their prayer is for a faith which will supernaturalize every instinct and action of their lives. See, that animates our whole life, our faith, and enable them to dare to do all things for Christ the King without hesitation. That faith is represented by the pillar of fire, which melts all legionary hearts into one and guides them onto victory to the land of eternal promise, casting abroad as it proceeds the life-giving claims of divine love. The pillar of fire is Mary. That is our modern day pillar of fire. The pillar of fire in the Old Testament was the one that God led the Israelites to the promised land. But the pillar of fire for us is Mary, who saved the world by her faith. Because without Mary's faith, Jesus would not have come into the world, and he's the one who saved us. So Mary was indispensable, just as Eve played a part in the downfall of the human race, so Mary played a part in the restoration of the human race. That's what we call Mary, the co-redemptrix. We call her the mediatrix. We can call Eve the co-messer-upper. That's a theological term, because Eve messed things up. She's the co-messer-upper. Mary is the co-redemptrix. Jesus saved the world. He is the Son of God. He's the one who redeemed the world and saved the world. But Mary helped. Mary participated. And all of us are co-redeemers with Christ. Because you pray for people, you evangelize people, you offer your sufferings for people. That's what St. Paul says. I fill up in my own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. See, we unite our prayers and sufferings to Jesus. So we're all co-redeemers in Christ, the one redeemer. We're all mediators in Christ, the one mediator. See, Jesus is the only mediator between us and the Father. But you can still pray for me and I can pray for you, right? That doesn't take away from the one mediatorship of Christ. We all pray in the one mediator and through the one mediator. We all redeem in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So Mary is the pillar of fire who saved the world by her faith. Blessed is she who believed. That's a quote. It's on the border of the Tessera picture. Blessed is he who believed. And that was a quote from Elizabeth to the Blessed Mother. Remember when she went to visit Elizabeth at the visitation? See, unlike Zachariah, her deaf and dumb husband over in the corner, who didn't believe, who's still deaf and dumb at that time, Mary believed. That's why she could speak. That's why she made the trip to the visitation. Because she was the woman of faith. Blessed is she who believed. And who now, though through encircling gloom, leads on unerringly those who call her blessed, until the everlasting splendor of the Lord God come upon them. So again, that's a beautiful commentary, often overlooked, about the Legion picture, which tells us about Mary's faith, that she is the pillar of fire. So going back to the concluding prayer, a faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire, which led the Israelites through the desert to the promised land. We're all in the desert, aren't we, right? Even in Chicago, this world is the valley of tears. We're all in the desert, and we're all on our way, God willing, to the promised land of heaven. This faith will lead us forth united. It'll kindle in everywhere the fires of divine love, like a torch that you pass on and light other people's faith. See, when you, let's say you have a torch that is lit on fire, and then you light somebody else's faith, does your flame go out? No. You still have your flame, but then you can light somebody else's torch. And what sometimes happens is that if yours starts to go out, they help to relight your torch, and you had already helped them, now they help you. To lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those in darkness and the shadow of death. That would be those in darkness of sin, those in ignorance of the faith, those in the darkness of unbelief. We want to enlighten those in darkness and the shadow of death, like those on their deathbed, those about to pass from this life into eternity. So we set their heart on fire to inflame those who are lukewarm. Remember the promises of Margaret Mary? Jesus came to Margaret Mary. She said to those who are devoted to the Sacred Heart, it says, the lukewarm will become fervent. The fervent will rise to great perfection. And priests will be given the grace to touch the most hardened hearts. So we have here to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, those who are dead in mortal sin. The legionaries bring back to confession, right? Those who have been away from God for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, those dead in sin, you bring back, which will guide our own feet in the way of peace. So if we do this, right, if you bring other people closer to God, then you'll be kept close to God as well. So that the battle of life over, and this world is a battle. So remember, there's three stages of Christianity. You have the church triumphant, which is in heaven, the church suffering, which is in purgatory, and the church militant, which is on earth. And remember, Bishop Sheen always said, when you aim for heaven, don't just aim for purgatory, right? Because if you wind up short of heaven, you'll land safely in purgatory. But if you miss purgatory, watch out. You don't want bad ballistics. You have to make sure you aim for heaven, and then you'll be safe, at least in purgatory. So the battle of life over, that life is a battle. We are the church militant. One day, of course, well, God willing, will be in the church triumphant. May have to pass through the church suffering a little bit, but the church triumphant is our goal. Our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone.